The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live bettings, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code Ross. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Ross, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It's a teaching tutorial Thursday, which means class is in session with Professor Greg Cosell from NFL Films University, the executive producer of the NFL Matchup Show. We'll dive into some of the biggest games in week three with Greg momentarily. We are, of course, presented by DraftKings. Thank goodness for those dudes and that company, a wonderful company that has been huge for Brian and I and the Ross Tucker Football Podcast Network. Don't even think about playing daily fantasy or placing bets anywhere other than DraftKings if you like this show, because that's how good those guys have been to us. Spread the word, winner, by his social media tomorrow. I already told you, it's an Instagram like. So easy. At Ross Tucker Pod, like some of our clips or reels or whatever we posted at Ross Tucker Pod on Instagram. You got a chance to be announced tomorrow. Get one of these glorious press passes or a signed picture, signed card. Really up to you. Sponsor confirmation email winner. Love those of you who take advantage of so many of our sponsors. Simply Safe. We've got Symbol, which I'll tell you about today, which I'm a big fan of. The Raycon earbuds. And then the YouTube shout out. I want to do a video for you. I want to do a video specifically for you and whoever you want me to do it for. Just subscribe, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. It's free. You literally just hit a thumbs up button and then make a comment on any video. I see them all. And then boom, I'll say, oh, that's a new person making a comment. Haven't seen that name before. And I'll announce you as the YouTube shout out winner. youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Speaking of shout outs, we're racking up the Tuckheads over at patreon.com/RTMedia. Mark Hayduke is the latest. I'm going with Hayduke, H-A-J-D-U-K. I think it's Hayduke. I think he's Greg Cosell. I think it's Big Show time.
The Big Show.
All right, Greg, I will make my prediction for the Steelers and the Browns a little bit later in the show. But I want to dive into some of the juicier matchups on Sunday. Let's start with the Chiefs and the Colts. Fascinated by this game. I need to know what the Chiefs are doing without Tyreek Hill, and I need to know what's going on with the Colts, Greg.
Yeah, well, I think the Colts, one issue that I think really shows up on tape is their offensive line has not been very good. And we thought that would be a problem, Ross, going into the season. I think maybe people assume because they had Quentin Nelson that they were a great offensive line, and he's obviously a great left guard. But they had concerns, and that has shown up. And the reason it's a concern, too, is Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan is arguably a notch below a Hall of Fame player, but he's a certain kind of quarterback in that he's a pocket quarterback who's a strider. And pocket quarterbacks that are striders need the pocket to be clean in front of them. So the offensive line needs to control the depth of the pocket. So there's space. You know this. You play offensive line. And that's been a concern because Ryan is obviously not a second reaction playmaker. And they're obviously, they've the first week of the season, they ran the ball exceptionally well. this week they got behind and the run game became a non-factor simply because the score dictated otherwise. But offensively, they're struggling. And I'm going to be curious to see what Frank Reich and staff do to try to get this going. They were down receivers last week, and they need those receivers back. But they're going to need to give Matt Ryan time to throw the football.
It's so funny, isn't it, Greg? You know, people say, oh, are you worried about this team? Are you concerned? Well, when the concerns I have going into the season show up in the first 2 weeks, then I'm concerned. Yes.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, I was concerned about their O-line, in particular at left tackle and right guard. And then I was concerned about their receivers. And maybe you say, well, Pierce and Pittman got hurt. Okay, but that's part of it. What about the Chiefs, Greg? They're still scoring points. They're still moving the ball.
Yeah, well, I had said before the season, I don't know if it was with you or just others that I had spoken with, that I didn't think that the loss of Tyreek Hill would really pose a problem for Patrick Mahomes, because I think Mahomes is a quarterback that elevates the play of those around him. And obviously Mahomes can be really precise from the pocket. He's an excellent thrower of the football, and he can also make plays outside of structure, which obviously puts tremendous stress on the discipline of defenses. You know, what has stood out through two games, and maybe this is the one thing that we have seen that is a function of Tyreek Hill not being there, is the Chiefs' increased use of two tight end personnel groupings. You know, they've been much more of an 11 personnel offense with three wide receivers, but they've played with two tight ends more. I wish I had a brilliant answer as to why. It's certainly easy to say it's because Tyreek Hill is not there, but we don't know that. So that's just one thing that has stood out. But I think that their pass game has been really consistent. I mean, last week against the Chargers, there were no real big plays. I thought the Chargers actually did a very good job showing a lot of different looks in the secondary. They did play a lot of man coverage. Maybe we would not see that as much with Tyreek Hill. But for the most part, I think that Patrick Mahomes has been very solid, and they do have a good O-line. You know, that's a lot of the pass game comes down to protection. You and I both know you do not have a pass game if you can't protect.
Totally agree. They did have that deep post touchdown to Justin Watson.
Yeah, and that was Mahomes being Mahomes. I mean, he moved up in the pocket. He has great vision on the move, and obviously the rare ability to deliver off-platform and off-balance throws with distance. And that was a great example of that. That Watson 41-yard touchdown, where he actually beat J.C. Jackson.
The Bills are playing the Dolphins, and they got a couple of high-powered offense, Gregs. What will you be looking at in this one?
Yeah, I'm going to be really fascinated. I think that, and I said this before the season as well, that I thought Tua would play well, given the working with Mike McDaniel and those wide receivers, not because they can just run by people. We have to put aside the two long touchdowns to Hill from last week. Those were busts. I don't know how to, you know, deal with that in terms of, wow, Tua is playing well, but he is playing well. But those plays you almost have to push aside. But Mike McDaniel does such a good job with the use of personnel, formation, shifts, motions, that he creates a number of things for his pass game. And the reason I think that the speed of Hill and Waddle is so important is not simply because they can run by corners, because that won't be the foundation of their pass game, the vertical element. It's because corners will not press them, and therefore their routes will not be disrupted, Ross. And what is Tua at his best? He's a timing and rhythm player that hits his back foot and gets the ball out. So the pass rush will not get there. And if you can't disrupt the receiver's routes because you're concerned about getting beat over the top, then there's no disruption to the timing and rhythm of the pass game. And that plays beautifully into what Tua is. And I think they'll be successful throwing the football.
That is really interesting, Greg. I've not heard anybody else say that, but that makes perfect sense. People aren't going to press him because they don't want him to go by him. So it means that their routes really aren't disrupted, and it allows for the timing of the offense. Don't you have to try to reroute him somehow, Greg?
You do.
I mean, mess up the rhythm somehow?
Obviously, yes. I mean, and there's different ways to do that, obviously. But the point is you won't see, I don't believe, a lot of press. Because even though Tua is not a true deep ball thrower, you know, he's not the kind of guy that's going to drive it with distance like, let's say, a Josh Allen. Fades and posts are not really deep ball arm strength throws. So if you press Hill and he immediately gets by you and you throw a fade, that's not a deep ball throw. So what you have to do, and this is something I can't do because I'm one guy and I'm not just studying one team, is you have to study their route concepts based on the splits and alignments of their receivers and understand when they're aligned in specific spots, their tendency is to do this. When they're aligned somewhere else, their tendency is to do this. That's what teams do, obviously. So that's what coaches do. So you have to get a feel for that. So even if you don't press them, you can at least have bodies in the area in which they tendency-wise run routes based on location and splits.
I don't even know what to say about the Bills' offense, Greg. They're just really good. I mean, what is there something to say?
Yeah, this is what I would say. I think the thing we've noticed this year, and it started last year, but it's become very noticeable this year, is that Josh Allen has become a quick rhythm thrower. If you notice their pass game, week one, they obviously wanted to make sure that Aaron Donald didn't wreck their day. The best pass rusher on Tennessee was Jeffrey Simmons, an inside pass rusher. So they are now a timing and rhythm pass game. Allen gets the ball out and obviously has the ability at any time to throw it down the field. But, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, we would never have said that Josh Allen could evolve into this kind of quarterback that's rhythmic and throws the ball on time with precise ball location. But he can do that. And they have an outstanding RPO game. What they do is they line up digs with a reduced split to the boundary. And you know, Ross, when you line up a receiver to the boundary in a reduced split, he rarely gets pressed. So instead of throwing in-breaking routes off RPO looks, they throw those quick outs to digs. We saw about 5 of them on Monday night. It becomes pitch and catch. And they get 8 yards on first down. And obviously, if you're in 2nd and 2 a lot, that's good for the offense.
Totally agree with everything you just said. It's stunning to see how quickly Josh Allen gets rid of the ball now compared to his first 2 years.
Yeah.
Just stunning. What about the Lions?
Yeah.
How about these Lions against the Vikings?
Well, let's just talk about the Lions for a second. And, you know, no one can say what their record's going to be. That's impossible. So I'm not going to sit here and say, wow, they're really good and they're going to be 12-5. That's not the point. But I think through 2 weeks, one thing has stood out. They are not going to be an easy team to play against. Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator, whose previous background before he got to the Lions was under Dennis Allen in New Orleans. He was there, I believe, for 5 years. They are incredibly aggressive on the defensive side of the ball. They pressure. They're multiple with their looks. They have different personnel packages on defense. Obviously, they have to hold up on the back end if you're going to pressure. And that would probably be the question as the season continues. But Aaron Glenn makes it difficult to play against with everything that they do from a pressure standpoint. And offensively, they want to run the ball. They're very multiple with their run game concepts. That's been really effective. I mean, Swift has had 2 50-plus yard runs in each of the first 2 games. You don't see that very often in the NFL. And I think the pass game, look, Jared Goff has always been a pretty thrower of the football. We know that he needs to be secure in the pocket. He's not necessarily a contested, muddied pocket thrower. But if they can protect, and I don't know when the Alabama rookie will be back, Jameson Williams. I don't know if they see him playing this year at all, but they've done a really nice job with how they get to their route concept. So this is not going to be an easy team to play against.
Greg, I'm not sure I ever thought I would see Jalen Hurts play as well, and maybe in particular the way he played on Monday night. I'm not sure I ever thought he would get there where it was consistent ball placement from the pocket like he did, Greg.
Yeah, and I think that Hurts played an exceptionally good game. You know, it was a real interesting mix of the quarterback playing at a higher level, the offensive coordinator and the offensive staff understanding who they were playing against. You know, when I popped in that tape, what we saw was Ed Donatell, the D coordinator from Minnesota, who comes from the Vic Fangio school of defense. He basically stayed in a two shell, two high safety coverage the entire game. And that's what he does for the most part. And they rely on pressure from their front four. And their front four is good. In the week before against Green Bay, as you know, Ross, they were able to generate an awful lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers. But the Eagles arguably have the best offensive line, certainly top three, and they just shut down the pass rush. And Hurts was secure, clean in the pocket, and he was able to deliver the ball with comfort and confidence. And his ball location was precise throughout the game. Obviously, there was a miscommunication slash bust on the long touchdown to Watkins, but he made an excellent throw. And Hurts just looked in total command. But I think it was also a case where, if you're putting it in a perspective, and that's what coaches have to do as well, it was against a defense that ultimately did not give them much that they had to decipher. But there's no question that the Eagles offense executed at a very high level.
I was kind of surprised when you're playing the Eagles to have two deep safeties the whole time. I don't really understand. I mean, I guess I'd be most concerned with the run game and keeping two deep safeties like that. I was a little surprised that they did that. Usually you do that because you're worried about giving up explosives.
Yep.
And then they did anyway. They did the Watkins play anyway.
You know, the other issue that you face when you play quarterbacks that can run, and I'm talking about design runs. I'm not talking about scrambles and second reaction runs, is when you do have the quarterback, the term they like to use is plus one. When the quarterback is part of your run game, sometimes it can be hard to play man, Ross, because what happens? Let's say you take a tight end or a back or receivers and you run them off, and the defense has to go with them if you're playing in man coverage. So you put a tight end on the line of scrimmage, let's say, as an attached tight end, and instead of using him as a physical blocker, he ends up with what we call an easy release. He releases easily off the line of scrimmage, and he takes a defender with him because it's man coverage. So you lose run support. So sometimes it can be difficult to play man coverage against teams that have quarterbacks that are plus one quarterbacks that are part of the offense's design run game concepts.
Greg, I'm very interested in the Jags and the Chargers game.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. What interests you in that?
What really interests me is I watched Trevor Lawrence now, and I watched probably more Trevor Lawrence in my life than many quarterbacks, because I think I watched every game he played at Clemson and then obviously his games in the NFL. And I think you're beginning to see, and it will be incremental, so it's not going to happen every week. I want people to understand that. I'm not suggesting that what I'm about to say is, wow, he's there and this is just going to happen every snap. But you're beginning to see the transformation take place due to Doug Peterson. Because you're starting to see that Lawrence is a little quicker on his drop, a little quicker on his set. The ball's coming out quicker. He's not striding quite as much because Doug Peterson, a major foundation of what Doug Peterson does with the pass game is timing and rhythm. And quarterbacks who are long and are striders, they often struggle in that kind of passing game because everything has to be quick. It's like Tua. He's really good at that. That's his game. You know, Trevor Lawrence is long. He's long-legged. So you have to speed him up. And I think you're slowly starting to see the transformation take place. And as I said, it won't look great every single week, but it's noticeable on film.
What about the Packers and the Bucks? I wanted to get at least one thought from you on that game.
Yeah, the Bucs have a really, really good defense. That's not a profound statement, obviously, Ross, but I'm curious to see how the Packers approach it. They've struggled at times with this Bucs defense. And last week against the Bears, they obviously committed to the run game and ran the ball exceptionally well. And I think I'm curious to see if they come out that way, how they structure their run game to try to create runs. Unfortunately, we have no idea about their left tackle. It doesn't appear he's might play this week either, but I guess we will not know the answer to that until game time. But I think that that side of the ball has always been advantage Bucks in recent meetings. And the Bucks have two really good linebackers. Devin White's played really well through two games. Their secondary is healthy, which it was not a year ago. And I think that that has really allowed them to be a better defense.
Last but not least, Greg, definitely want to get your thoughts on the Niners and the Broncos.
Yeah.
There's a lot there. Obviously, yeah. The Broncos are kind of a mess so far.
So far.
Trey Lance is done for the year for the Niners. It's Jimmy G time. So let's talk about both these teams, actually.
Well, I would say real quick with Denver, and maybe it's a function of being in a new offense, but through two games, Russell Wilson is not seeing things clearly and quickly enough. His reading process has been a little slow. Now, you would expect that to be cleaned up just as he plays more games within the context of a new offense. On the other side of the ball, what most fascinates me, Ross, about the 49ers is I personally believe, and this is just a personal feeling, I could be wrong. Think back to last year. The Niners won a lot of games when they started to play well, where Jimmy G threw 22 balls, 23 balls. I just have a gut that you're going to see the Niners be a little more aggressive throwing the football this year. I'm not suggesting they're going to have Jimmy G drop back 40, 45 times. But Kyle Shanahan knows the way the league is structured now, no matter how good their defense is, and it's good, that it's tough to win every week, you know, 20-17. It's tough to win every week just with your run game. And it would not surprise me to see them be a little more proactive and aggressive in favorable down and distance situations throwing the football because they have more speed now. Danny Gray, the rookie, he can run. Obviously, Ayuk now is a developing player. He can get vertical. Samuel may not be truly vertical, but he's incredibly multidimensional. They have weapons on the perimeter. And I sense, just like I said, a gut feeling that they may be a little more aggressive proactively with the pass game.
Check him out on social media at Greg Cosell. He is fantastic, as all of you already know. Joins us every Thursday here on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And then you can follow him to find out the different show times for NFL matchup this weekend. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Ross.
Boy, I like what Greg had to say about Trevor Lawrence because, as I mentioned on the Even Money podcast on Tuesday, I bought a little stock in the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I did it through Symbol, the stock market for sports. Pro Football Focus calls Symbol the perfect blend of sports and the stock market, offering a brand new way to invest in your favorite teams and profit off their success. It is very cool, and I wish I had thought of it, to be able to combine basically the thrill of sports betting with the profitability of the stock market to give you a platform where fortune favors us, like the fan. Here's the coolest thing they got going right now. If you download the Symbol mobile app for iOS by searching S-I-M-B-U-L-L in the App Store and use promo code Ross, you'll get a free team stock valued at up to $150 upon sign up. So you get a free $150. Like I don't know why everybody wouldn't do it. It's code Ross to claim your free stock on the Symbol mobile app.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bucks takes.
Good morning, Ross. Let's start today with the Bucks. They put running back Gio Bernard and tackle Josh Wells on IR. And as we talked about yesterday, wide receiver Mike Evans, his suspension is upheld, so he's out this week.
Right. He appealed to James Thrash, who upheld it. He's out. Big loss against the Packers. the Bucks just have a lot of injuries. I mean, they're finding ways to win, but Gio Bernard now, Josh Wells, who was in for Donovan Smith. The season is a war of attrition, and maybe on some level you can say they're getting some of these injuries out of the way because they're going to make the playoffs, and they'll have these guys later maybe when it matters, like Godwin and whoever, maybe even Jensen, you never know. But they've taken their fair share of hits already.
Tuck's takes.
Raiders and Patriots made a trade. Raiders get tackle Justin Heron.
Yeah, this makes sense because the Patriots recently signed Marcus Cannon, their former player, to the practice squad. They can promote Marcus Cannon to be the swing guy at both tackles behind Wynn and Trent Brown. Heron is a former Wake Forest tackle. I called at least one of his games in college. And he's in a situation where the Raiders are really struggling along the offensive line. And he can even play some guard, I think. And I think the O-line coach for the Raiders, Carm Brasillo, I think he trusts Heron. You know, he was with them the last couple of years in New England. So he knows what he is. He trusts him. And I think he obviously has a greater comfort level with Heron than he does with the guys on this Raiders roster.
Tuck's takes.
Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow has removed Twitter and Instagram from his phone.
You know, I can totally see this. We don't really talk about this enough, but I played like right before social media became a big deal, like right before it. And I bet you it's tough. Bet you it's tough to see all the criticism, all the people mad at you. Now, the flip side is it's pretty cool probably to see the praise. And I can tell you, I experienced this a little bit just from the media. Every once in a while, I'll do a search for my name after like an Eagles preseason game or whatever. And it's like 90% positive. But then there's 10% of people that don't like me. And that's fine. It's a subjective business. There's 10% of people that they don't care for me for whatever reason. That's all right. But I think a lot of people really struggle with that. A lot of people really, that really bothers them. And I would say, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I don't like it. Like, I don't like when I see a Twitter comment or an Instagram comment of someone that doesn't like me on TV and says I'm the worst or whatever. I don't enjoy that, but I guess I think I'm able to keep it in proper perspective. And, you know, the best guys, right? The guys that have the biggest jobs, Romo and Collinsworth or Joe Buck, they get crushed on social media. So it's like nobody has 100%. I'd like to see what it would be like for John Madden now. There'd be people that are complaining about John Madden.
Tuck's takes.
All right, tonight we got a game. First place in the AFC North is on the line. Browns hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who you got and why?
I think it's a toss-up game. I really do. I think it's a field goal wins it late for one team or the other. I'll lean to the Browns because they're at home and because I think that Brissett is playing better than Trubisky. And I don't know how many of you listened to Joe Dolan on yesterday's Fantasy Feast podcast, but the Browns have actually scored on 52.4% of their possessions, which is tied with the Bills and the Chiefs for the most in the NFL. Browns' offense has actually moved the ball, and they've had a lot of scoring drives. So that's why I'll go with the Browns. Browns by a field goal. Steelers D is still pretty tough, even without TJ Watt. So I think it's like 20-17, 23-20, something like that. Browns get the win, but I think it's a really good game, competitive game, probably a pretty low-scoring game, unless Trubisky somehow wakes up going back to his hometown because that's where he's from. By the way, I haven't checked my email in a day, but I only have one email left from you guys to answer on the show. So instead of even getting to that right now, I'm just going to tell you about our I Think We're Done Here members of patreon.com/RTmedia. Pizza Boy Brewing had their New England Murrin last night. Delicious. Sporticulture, humanheadnyc.com, steakhousesports.com, STAKE, housesports.com, go-bangles.com. Maybe that's where Joe Burrow will go to read up on what's going on now. Evergreen Economics, and my favorite gift you can give someone because of what it means to them and how much it means to them and the fact that it's the gift that keeps on giving, myfrontpagestory.com. All the other shows for the week are posted. Even Money, College Draft, both Fantasy Feasts, Business of Sports. Tomorrow morning, bright and early, I will make my prediction for every other game in the NFL, as well as let you know what happened from my perspective in tonight's Browns-Steelers game. Other than that, I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feasts, Even Money, Business of Sports, and College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.